Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Apparently, we are recording on all five of your devices that have Skype brought up.
I don't know. So. No, I deleted it off my phone, so it would quit ringing when you called me.
There's nothing worse than when technology does not cooperate. I mean,
well, it tries to do too much. I don't like the way it loads on everything, so I've got it on my laptop, my desktop, and my phone. And instead of it being on the one that I'm trying to use my laptop when you're calling me, and it's ringing on all these other devices, and I can't answer on the one because it's telling me anyway. It doesn't matter. Put me in a bad mood.
It puts you in a bad mood, but it shouldn't, because there's worse things. Like, and you brought it up. Like Justin Bieber, why is every time we see somebody famous going through something that just us regular Joes could go through, it's kind of shocking. Is it because news, or you just think that they should have better?
I would say, hold on a second, I'm going to Google that up while you were sitting here. I would say you would continue to do your job if you had.
Ramsey Hunt syndrome.
That's what it said. I'm going to look it up right here while I'm looking at it. I need to open another window or two.
It says he's having trouble eating.
Are you reading it?
I'm looking at it. People magazine article. Been getting progressively harder to eat, which has been extremely frustrating. Please pray for me. Now, I am not going to make light of this, but I guess
it's a virus.
Yeah. I mean, obviously,
it causes chicken pox and shingles.
Wow.
Hold on a second.
Well, obviously, if it would made it harder for me to eat, I would probably be okay for a little while. But, I mean, he's a good looking dude. He can't smile or blink or whatever with one side of his face. That could be a problem. You know,
I don't know. How much money you think he's got?
Oh, he should legitimately be worth $20 million. Easy. If he took care of his money. Easy. He probably does not do a show. I mean, he just looks like he canceled three shows.
Okay, probably, so do you want to know what the thing says here?
What, that he's worth?
Yeah.
Well, okay. What's it say he's worth? And then you could probably half that.
Easy. Okay, so let's just go 10% of this.
Okay.
It says he's worth $295 million.
He possibly could be. I mean,
so let's just say he's got $29 million.
Okay. Right? Uh-huh.
If you had $29 million, could fight through it.
Yeah, the level of our podcast would probably be a little bit better, the production.
I'm not. I don't know if I would do a podcast if I had $29 million.
What else would we do?
Well, first of all, you'd get paranoid. You'd be worried about somebody coming and taking your money. That's what I always heard. The more money you have, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know.
So then you got to worry about what you say or what you do, because somebody might come along and take it all, right?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I'm ever going to have to worry about that. I don't have any to take. And I don't think I would say anything, but it could find a reason to take it.
Do what?
I said, I don't know that I could say anything that anybody could find a reason to take. I mean, I've already been divorced once. So, I mean.
You don't have anything left.
I have half of what I left. I have half of what I had to start with, and it was nothing.
Well, there you go.
Isn't that a Billy Preston? Isn't that like a great the Billy Preston song? Something from nothing is nothing.
Yeah, right? That's right. Because Jerry Reed said, "She got the gold mine, you got the shaft." So,
amen, brother. Amen.
Must have been. Man, he's dead now, ain't he?
Oh yeah. So for all of our listeners, if you do not know Billy Preston, the fifth Beatle, go check out his
career. Was he really the fifth Beatle?
Yeah. Yeah. He. Well, he was the fifth Beatle on that documentary that is on. Oh, you know, I forget when they recorded that album basically in 2 weeks, and they brought Billy Preston in, and he really like spurred him on a little bit creatively. So they call him there at the end the fifth Beatle, and then if people do not know Jerry Reed. Well, that's just a shame.
Oh, hold on a second. How is any of our viewers not even know who Jerry Reed is? I mean, Jerry Reed, probably even people in England know who Jerry Reed is, isn't he?
I'd have to. I mean, right? Eastbound and Down. What else did he do? Famous?
Well, I mean, Amos Moses.
Amos Moses, yeah. I mean, Guitar Man, right? Or Guitar Zan or whatever. What did he do?
That's right. I mean, he did a lot of stuff. I mean, he did a whole, you know what I'm reading? I'm reading here in the archives where he went to all these military bases. He said playing before military audiences is one of the most rewarding things, as he was at Yokohama Air Base in Japan. He did a whole big thing, Okinawa, the Philippines, Germany. At Christmas time.
Well, I just want you to know this. You said Justin Bieber's net worth was $295 million. Guess what they estimate Jerry Reed's net worth was?
50. 2 to 3.
Now, doesn't that seem like a shame that Jerry Reed's net worth is not even about 1%?
Now, is that because back in the old days they didn't make that much money, or he had? Hey, did you see the Colonel Parker movie coming out?
I did. I did. Dude,
did you see that? I can't wait for it to come out.
Listen, I've heard some great Colonel Parker stories. Great Colonel Parker stories.
So is that why these guys, you know, back in the old days, they'd sell a song for a pack of cigarettes or something? I mean, they were broke. They didn't have the ability to. Obviously, wasn't Bieber a YouTube guy? And then how he got discovered?
Yeah, I believe so.
YouTube, so those guys already had the machine in place, plus the merch. They got their own, you know, they sold their own merchandise. They did their, you know.
He didn't need anybody else to become famous.
Just like nowadays. Yeah, kids nowadays don't need anybody. But back in those days, they had all these parasites, right?
Well, it wasn't just that. There were so many gatekeepers that just kept you from doing anything. I mean, I listened to a podcast with Jerry Stoller and what's the other guy that, they wrote a bunch of hits for Elvis. Stoller and, hold on here. It's too bad we don't have this up on the screen. Jerry Stoller. Anyway, they wrote, I don't want to tell something wrong here.
Why not? You're in entertainment.
I know.
As long as it's entertaining, it don't matter, right?
Okay, Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller. Okay, they were composers. They wrote Hound Dog for Elvis. They wrote Young Blood, Searching, Yakety Yak. Let's see, what else did they do? They wrote Love Me, Jailhouse Rock, Loving You, King Creole, Don't, whatever. Those were all Elvis songs. However, the story was I think when Elvis started getting into the movies, and so they got these guys because they had written some hits, and I think Jailhouse Rock was from a movie, right?
All right.
Jailhouse Rock. So they pitched Elvis, I think the story was they pitched Elvis a song on their own without going through the Colonel. Now, mind you, they'd already had 6, 7 big hits with Elvis. And they weren't just like a couple rum-dums off the street.
They already had that.
Yeah, they already had a relationship, to so to speak, with Elvis. And they felt comfortable enough that they pitched something to him on their own. And the Colonel found out about it and went and said, look, don't ever do that again, or else you'll never, ever write another song for Elvis. And I think it was Jerry Stoller that was, or Mike Stoller that was telling the story. And he said, we never got another song with Elvis for the next 15 years or whatever that he was still recording. Because that's how big of a control freak the Colonel was.
And this is what I don't understand is how come somebody didn't take him out?
Well, I don't know. How are they going to take him out? I mean,
Elvis, back in those days, you could get away with murder. I mean, he was wanted for murder in Europe. That's why they never did a Europe tour, right?
I never heard that. The Colonel.
Oh, yeah. I think he was wanted for, he was Dutch, right?
I don't know. I don't know enough.
Yeah, I don't think he was a U.S. citizen at all.
Really? Okay.
And, yeah, hold on. I'm looking up Colonel Tom Parker. Why did they call him Colonel? Was he an auctioneer or something? Okay, he was born in Breda, the Netherlands. Mm-hmm, 1909.
Wow, 1909 seems like
mm-hmm. forever. So, anyway, he...
Boy, he just looks like...
Oh, listen to this. He served 2 years in 64. He was in Hawaii. Although Parker had served honorably, he went AWOL and was charged with desertion. He was punished, solitary confinement. He was emerged with psychosis. He was in a mental hospital. He was discharged from the army because of mental conditions. Finally, he was discharged. Hold a second. I thought. Okay. Then the Colonel, her biography of Colonel Parker, Alana Nash, wrote that there were questions about a murder in Breda in which Parker may have been a suspect or at least a person of interest. This may have motivated him to avoid seeking a passport, as the Netherlands has an active extradition treaty with the United States, and he may have wanted to avoid criminal arrest by the Dutch authorities in that case. Which is why Elvis never got to go on Europe tour, never got to do a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And how about this? It says, as Elvis's fame grew, people became interested in Parker as well. For a time, he lied about his childhood, claiming he had been born in Huntington, West Virginia, to explain his Dutch accent as being a Southern accent, and to have run away at an early age to join the circus run by his uncle.
Well, do they speak Dutch in West Virginia? I don't know.
I don't know either. Oh, this is fabulous. He might be a better story than Elvis.
Oh, without a doubt. Because I mean, look how many church going, piano playing, guitar singing boys made it out of there. You know what I mean? All the good guys from the 50s and 60s played at church and mm-hmm. were decent human beings. But a Dutch murderer that fled to America and joined the U.S. military, got kicked out for being in a mental institution, and then dies a millionaire in Las Vegas after producing the number one singer for a century, maybe of all time up until that point. I mean, I'm surprised we don't have I'm surprised the southern border, this 15,000 caravan, ain't Dutch kids trying to get here to live that dream.
to be the next Colonel Tom Parker.
Yes. Think about that. There should be a Colonel Parker bronze there in Harlem or Schiphol, you know, and the people that know Harlem and Schiphol know what I'm talking about. Yes, right of us, surrounded by tulips. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh, the real Dutch dream being Tom Parker.
That's right. Well, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that, especially in the old days, the people that really lived the American dream were people that weren't Americans.
You're right.
You know, I mean, right. I listened to Steve Wynn talk on a podcast. I think I told you, you know, the billionaire casino magnate,
mm-hmm.
and his dad, they came from Poland or Romania or somewhere of that place, right?
Yeah.
And his dad, now think about this, back in those days, his dad was a painter and made his bones because he could paint Coca-Cola backwards because they had to paint on the inside of restaurants and
oh, yeah,
they had to paint it on the window, right? So he went to like a, you know, they said he his dad answered a little ad in the paper or whatever, help wanted, they needed a painter, and he went there and he said, can you, you know, write to Coca-Cola? Remember, it was longhand, cursive, you know, and this is in the 20s, I believe. And 20s or 30s. And then he, after he painted it the first time, they said, okay, now do it backwards because we need you to do it on the inside of these businesses out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly. Instead of painting it on the outside of the window.
And he spent essentially the rest of his life painting Coca-Cola backwards. Which that's how he got Steve went into the Adirondacks in the, you know, the casino bar entertainment business because his dad had these contacts because he was painting Coca-Cola on whatever needed Coca-Cola. You know, they would send him, I think he actually worked for Coca-Cola. Like they would send him to paint Coca-Cola.
Their logo. Yeah. Everywhere.
Isn't that crazy when you think about it?
That is, but those are the best stories. You know, hear how people came and from another country, couldn't speak, had no money, and how they just were so determined to make it. And, you know, and then what their kids did or did not do with what they built.
Yes. Well, you know, what do they say?
Kids are stupid? Oh, I'm
sorry. Well, I was going to say sandals to sandals in three generations. I know what they say.
Sandals to sandals.
Yeah, you mean, you know, your great grandfather came here in sandals, you know, or back in those days, you know, basically sandals or barefoot even, right? Mm-hmm. You made money to put shoes on the kids' feet. You know, the first generation gets a pair of shoes for school or Sunday school or something. And then the second generation gets all the shoes they want, and by the third generation, they piss it all away and they're back to being barefoot and broke.
That is the real American story right there, right?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I was just thinking of the country, dissecting the country in little segments. So, you know, you don't even have to go to another country anymore to make your fortune. You can just go to Ohio or something, right? Or, you know, our people.
Speaking of a fortune, did you see the story about John Elway and how much money he could have made if he would have agreed to the Broncos owner's offer back when he retired? Did you see that?
What was the offer?
So when he retired, I believe he was owed, he had $10 million on his salary, or $15 million that was deferred. Okay. So what it was is he had, Broncos owner at the time offered him, if he, the money he had left deferred, it was like $15 million. He'd give him 10% of the Broncos.
That they just sold for $5 billion or whatever.
And,
$4 billion.
And then the other kicker is for $10 million, for $10 million cash, I think it was, he would have given him another 10%. So for $25 million, only 10 of which, I believe, was actual cash out of John Elway's hands, he could have owned 20% of the Denver Broncos, which he would have made $900 million off that sale that just went through. And the kicker was is that $15 million then that he had deferred, he ended up investing that in a Ponzi scheme that he ended up losing half of it. He only ever got half of it back.
So you think he's upset this week about it, or?
Well, I don't know. Okay. That was kind of the.
To me, that would make me madder than five Skype windows on my laptop.
Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As I get older, okay, now I don't, when did John Owe retire? How old was he? I don't know.
He was in the 90s, right? 96, 97?
But I mean, he was probably in his late 30s, early 40s, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the older I have gotten, the one thing I realize is ownership of things is kind of important. And I don't mean like ownership of, I got to own a car. Okay. I mean like, I get a chance to buy some land. Okay.
Yes. Yes. I bought some. I bought more land the last 3 years, not 4 years, than I had my entire life. And I wish I'd have done it 25 years ago.
Yeah. And like Christy and I had an opportunity to buy into a racehorse. Okay. No, we didn't.
About that.
Uh-huh. Well, but we bought a small percentage. Okay. We're not like, we didn't build a barn. We're not raising it. You know, we're not taking care of it. We owned a, we had a little bit of extra money and we bought in a percentage and have done pretty well. Writing songs. Okay. I own pieces of all those songs. I own pieces of some of the movies that we've done. I've got obviously some of these books, some of the books that I've done, you know, owning little pieces of stuff that can make passive income for you is the key. Like owning land, it's, you know, like even just buying a house is, you know, if you'd have bought a couple houses a couple years ago, you could have doubled your money. Okay. But, you know, anything like that, that doesn't require you to go out and work 9 to 5 on it every day. I think that's not everybody can do that, you know, but I think you can, if you're smart, you know, and look for opportunities, you know. And because here's the thing is once you do that, then people come to you and ask you, hey, look, there's this opportunity. You want to throw some, you know, you want to invest in that, you know,
like the Ponzi scheme came to John Elway,
except that he wasn't smart enough to do the better one. Better
wonder
one.
Why he didn't want the team.
Well,
you would think a dude.
I mean, can you imagine owning 20% of the Broncos?
I would have thought all those guys would have wanted a piece of the team.
You standing in the middle of the stadium, you could look around and you could say, this would be a very.
You're at least going to break even. Okay, give me half of the concessions for the next 10 years or something. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Oh, gosh. Look, all you had to do some research and see what 10 years earlier the Broncos were worth.
Oh, I didn't you know think about saying? That. Yeah.
I mean, so 10%. So at that point in time, basically the Broncos were only worth $120 million.
Yeah, because I think, what's his name? Who owns the Yankees?
Steinbrenners.
Look at them. I don't think they paid 30 or 40 million and they had like 15 owners. He had to buy them out over time. And it got to the end where the last couple owners, he paid more than he paid for the whole team. Or, you know, for the last 5 or 10%, he paid more than he paid for the first 90%, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to look at so in 1973, George Steinbrenner and a group of investors bought the Yankees for, guess how much?
10 million, 20 million.
8.8 million.
Yeah. Because I just remember one day I was reading something and it was like they paid Jeter twice in 1 year, or A-Rod or one of them, like 2 or 3 times what they had paid for the team or something like that. It was an article. You know what I mean? Steinbrenner had, you know.
It was like 12 members. It was a 12 member group bought the Yankees. You know, a guy from our town John Keim, he had owned a lumber business, was Steinbrenner's roommate at the Culver Military Academy in, I think that in Indiana. That's where Steinbrenner went to school. So they always had, they were like best friends, you know, best buddies. And he used to always go up and when the Yankees came to town and sit in the owner's box.
Well.
And now the Yankees are worth $5 billion. Wow. So the moral of the story is always buy a professional sports team. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. if that opportunity knocks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unless it's roller derby. I'm not sure there's a big upside to
roller. Do they have teams? Roller derby teams?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, because the Cleveland Indians, you know, became the Cleveland Guardians. And wow. They had to buy. Hey, they had to
bring me back to the Indians when you get done. Go ahead.
They had to buy. There's, I believe, a roller derby team in Cleveland called the Cleveland Guardians already. So.
Then why wouldn't they just come up with a different name?
I know. You know what I always liked was one of their original names were the Spiders. I mean, that's a great. I mean, I think the Cleveland Spiders is great. Or the Rockers, even. Because it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I like those names.
Hmm.
So I'm bringing you back to the Indians.
Who's the old Indian mascot? Wahoo? Does that sound right?
Chief Wahoo, yeah. Chief Wahoo.
The only reason why I know that is because, you know what? I've made it 2 weeks without talking about my dead brother. But my dead brother had a whole bunch of sports stuff in his house, right? Shot glasses. And I can't even, you know. And, of course, the St. Louis Blues, some of the stuff I knew what it was, right?
Yeah.
You know, he had stuff signed from Brett Hull from the Blues from 85 and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And but anyway, I'm talking to my brother. So we let this harem come through there and basically take what they wanted, you know. And I was talking to my brother about, you know, one of them, and I said, what did she even take? He goes, well, he had a bunch of Wahoo shot glasses, and he had two or three things. And I said, do who? And he goes, oh, yeah. He said, I didn't even realize. He said, there was some Cleveland Indian stuff in there, and she couldn't believe he had it. She took it all.
And I said, well, there you go. He had Cleveland Indian stuff?
Because I think when he would travel around, you know, he would see shit and just, I don't know, he was just one of those dudes that knew a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff. Does that make sense?
So yeah, but I'm a little bit hurt being an Indians fan. I didn't get first shot at the Cleveland
Indians. Well, you know what's funny is I thought the same thing. I thought, man, if I'd have known that, I would have got it for you. I think it was a shot glass, a beer mug, and something else like at one time had came as a set back in the 80s or something. You know what I mean? Like,
which is perfect for me because I am such a big drinker.
Well, you know, I tell you what I took. The first thing I took, he had like every glass in his thing was either a sports team or a beer something, right?
Yeah.
And the only two I took that first day, one of them was a Stag beer from you know, like this old bar we used to go into when I was a kid called the Dave's in Taos, Missouri. It's called Dave's Pool Hall. I don't even know what it's called, just Dave's. And Dave's long dead. He got ran over a tractor accident about 20 years ago. And it's been resold two or three times, but they always call it Dave's. But Stag beer, big Stag beer sign. And you know what Stag beer is. Y'all have Stag beer in Indiana?
I don't know. I'm in Ohio.
Anyway, so
wait a second. You got a sign that says Dave's Place?
No, it's still hanging outside the place. But what I took was the Stag beer. It was a Stag beer glass, an old fashioned heavy bottomed beer glass, because it reminded me of when I was a kid going to that place. Right.
Okay.
And then there was a Bengals glass. And I remember, you know, when I was a kid, when the Bengals went to the Super Bowl in, what, 82, 83, something like that?
Yeah, 81, maybe.
Yeah, something like that, right? So that's the two I took. And he had a whole bunch of Kansas City Chiefs stuff and a whole bunch of Kansas City Royal stuff. And to me, the stuff's a dime a dozen because now, you know, when I was a kid, nobody said anything about the Chiefs. But now this is Chiefs Nation. Does that make sense?
Oh, so, yeah.
I look at two-thirds of these people like Fairweather fans. You know, where were y'all in the 70s and the 80s, right?
Exactly. Where were they?
You know?
Exactly.
So, anyhow, so I took the Bengals class. And as it transpired, I ended up having to take all this stuff because I had to clean this freaking house out. So I got a whole bunch of different things. But the Wahoo Indian stuff was in there. And I feel bad I should have gave it to you. Had I known that it was there, I would have made sure that you got it.
Is I collected for a short time Duke beer stuff because my one daughter who, let's see, she, I haven't heard from her in 5 years now. Almost 5 years. Her nickname was Duke. So I collected some cool memorabilia from a short-lived beer company called Duke Beer. So there you go.
I've never heard Duke Beer.
Mm-hmm. It was very short-lived. Very short-lived, but they had some really cool stuff.
You think your daughter stalks you on the podcast? But the daughter's mom still talks to you, right?
No. My oldest daughter, she and I have a very good relationship.
I know. It's the middle one, right? It's the ex-wife's daughters, right?
My two middle ones.
It's the ex-wife daughters, yeah. Not the ex-girlfriend daughter.
Yeah.
Right, I know.
My oldest daughter is a professional, has kids of her own.
Yes,
and
right.
I think she understands, she understands some stuff, but she doesn't want to get in, she doesn't want to get in her sister's business and say, hey, look, you guys are going to regret not talking to dad. And because she doesn't
want to. When we write the next Yellowstone.
I know.
Right.
I know. Well, and, I just saw that. So my youngest was over in Northern Ireland as part of her. So her she plays college basketball. So her college basketball team sent three guys and three girls, and they went to Northern Ireland. And it appears that they went and ran clinics or helped run clinics for kids over there in Ireland for basketball, which looked pretty cool, and I saw a little video of it and stuff because somebody sent it to me. But, those two girls have just totally. I mean, they don't even talk to my parents anymore. And it's just, it's a shame. I just don't even get it.
I was going to swing you back to something on that. Now I'm too lost. I'm too lost to open that can of personal, that loss that you went through.
It is what it is. And I sit there and I listen to podcasts during the day and the ones about missing people and kids going missing and stuff. And I'm like, this is what it's like, So it's like I've come to accept. I don't have those two daughters anymore for whatever reason.
Well, so. My son just stuck his head in there. I asked him earlier if he wanted to be on a podcast, and he said, "Yeah, maybe." Because I dropped him off at the big bus today. I mean, he's shipping, and for Joey Knuckles and some of these guys know what he's going through. I mean, he reports to basic training tomorrow, and. Mm-hmm. Well, and I said, hey, you want to be on a podcast? Yeah, maybe, he hummed around a little bit. And I came down here. There was some turmoil between him and his mom while I was trying to answer one of the five Skype calls on one of the three machines. I think that he doesn't realize the stress that his mother's growing through right now, that he could potentially – when I say leave and never come home, he could, this could be, last night could have been his last night in this house. He's going to be an adult in 4 or 5 years when he comes back, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If he's not already, he's going to be. And it's causing his mother some strife, and he keeps telling her, just leave me alone. And it's because she's trying to get 19 years worth of stuff in the next 18 hours or something. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I mean, I definitely know what you mean. It's like, and kids don't understand, and those two girls, their problem was, is I acted like their dad, not their best buddy. And their mom wanted to be their best friend and never told them no. And so they well, who are you gonna go with? You know, whose side are you gonna take? And you know, and it wasn't like I was super strict or anything. So it's kind of stupid that they have wasted a lot of years, because you and I both know life is short. I mean, it's real short. So every year, every day counts. And, you know, and they'll, and when I'm dead and gone, it's not going to bother me any. They're the ones that are going to have to reconcile with the fact that, you know, they let a lot of time go by. You know, now maybe they'll come to their senses or something. Who knows? But I mean, is what it is. I can't do anything about it. You know, they've made their choices. So, yeah. But I understand. Like your son's going off. I just saw Steve Sachs's boy died.
You know, yeah, Steve an Sachs Osprey. Major? Yeah, what do you think about that? I told my son, don't get an Osprey if you can. Don't have to.
Yeah, that's some. I mean, so that's some serious stuff. I mean, that guy, Steve Sachs's kid, didn't get in that. You know, he's 33 years old. It wasn't like he was a kid, so he had a lot of experience.
Right. I think he was. Yeah, he was in control of that machine. Or he, you know.
Yeah.
He was one of the two people.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't like he got off and, you know, got into the machine and thought, well, this is gonna be my last time. You know, so. Yeah, you never know. And so there's, you know, like I said, there's my daughter, her, you know, the younger one going off to Northern Ireland. You know, who knows what could have happened in Northern Ireland. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, the troubles could start over. Right.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I have no idea. But that's right. But that thought goes through my head all the time. Is like, I haven't heard from her in almost 3 years. So it's just like, what have they even been doing? You know, I mean, I go to her basketball games some, and she just doesn't even acknowledge that I'm there. So I just don't know.
I guess it could be worse. Don't be begging for money all the time, like some kids, right?
Well, I'd almost rather have that.
I'm kidding. I shouldn't say that.
But you're right. But you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
I know some parents. I've heard of some parents who would. Yeah, they wouldn't. Trade you for that.
But, you know, hey, I just always think, like, you know, my dad, God love him, was not a very good dad, you know, and I just keep thinking, if they would have had my dad, they wouldn't even have known what to do, you know.
Well, they would have had a whole different he probably kept his old lady in line. So
I didn't keep her in line.
He wasn't the woman whisperer that he was.
Listen, there's no keeping that woman in line. Let's just put it out.
You don't know. Back in them days, you know, they were a little. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know.
There I go. I go on the way to getting canceled. Just stick with me and we'll get canceled sooner or later.
I do have one question before we get off here. How did Dave die in a tractor accident?
You know, I don't think it turned partially over. For some reason, he ended up underneath one wheel or the fender in a wheel. And I don't remember if he did something and it ran over him. But for some reason, I think he was on an incline and he got in a ditch and it fell partially over. And I don't know if he's trying to jump off or whatever, but he ended up underneath the wheel like all day. You know what I mean? Like sometime in the morning and the wife came home. She was a school teacher after school, you know, 3:30 or 4:30 or whatever. And then, you know, called the youngest boy and says, I can't find your dad. And, you know, and they walked around the ranch. You know, they had a couple hundred acres and there he was. So I don't know if, you know, he might have laid there and reflected on his life for a long time, or it might have been instantly. I don't remember. But he ended up underneath the tractor he was driving.
Wow. Farm machinery is a dangerous, dangerous thing.
You know, I guess you say he died doing what he loved, I guess. I mean, that's what they say, but every farmer ever knew farming complained about it all the time. But who knows? Right? Maybe there is some peace and solace in the end. I don't know.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.